Haideți să deschidem cu toții Sfânta Scriptură la Judecătorii 6. Am să citesc de la versetul 11 la 16. So for tonight, for the English sermon, Judges 6, verses 11 to 16. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed the wheat into the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us from the hands of Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Amen." I remember when I first came here in the United States, I would work for a company, and we would do different jobs, and I would work at different jobs almost every day. And one of the most frequent, the most common question that I would hear a lot of times would be, "Who's in charge here? Who's the boss? Who's the one responsible? Who's the leader?" And it seems like a lot of times us people would like to be in charge. We like to be leaders. We like to be in control of things. And one time Jesus comes with disciples from Capernaum, and on the way back something happened. And Jesus asked them, "What's the matter with you guys?" They're all quiet. They're all quiet because between them there was an incident on the way back of who should be in charge, of who should be a leader. And they were probably talking between them, and they said, "You know, Jesus is with us right now for a while, but he's not going to stay with us forever. And at some point, he's going to be gone. And someone after that should take the lead." And probably Peter said, "You know, I'm the most experienced from all of you guys, and I think I should be a leader." And then Andrew looked at him and said, "You know, you always wanted to be a leader. Now it's my turn." And probably James looked at them and said, "I should be a leader." And I'm imagining Jesus looking at all of them and say, "Guys, in order to be a leader, you guys need to learn how to be a servant. In order to be a leader, first you need to be a servant. In order to be a leader, first you need to learn how to be obedient. In order to be a leader, first you need to learn how to be humble." And this is going to be the subject of the title of my subject tonight, how to be a leader. How to be a leader from God's perspective and what involves being a leader. And you know, I think it's very important for us to understand this, you know, because I think God puts on all of us, on all of our hearts, this thought, and I think it's very important to grow in this. You know, the most important thing is to focus first of the passage, and that was the first thing that I had in my mind when I first studied this passage. And here, this passage, I looked at the historical view, and there's a period of transition in Israel. A period of transition from a theocracy, from a period of time when God would be in control and God would take his people from Egypt. He would take his people from being slaves and he would bring them to the promised land, and he would make all these miracles to them, and he would make them cross the sea and the monarchy. A period of time when Israel would be led by a king. And this is the period of Judges, a period of time when they would forget about God, they would start seeking other idols, then God would press them, would punish them, and then they would repent, God would send them a judge, they would be okay for a while, and then they would start sinning again, and it would just be a cycle back and forth with God and without God, for God and against God. And this is the period of Judges, this is this period of transition. And I don't know exactly which is the best leadership, probably theocracy, but if it's not theocracy, for sure it's going to be monarchy. And the reason why I'm saying that is that I'm looking at Judges 21, verse 25. Nu acolo unde cuvântul Domnului spune că pe vremea aceea nu era împărat în Israel. Fiecare făcea ce voia. It's like at a lot of people's homes. Everyone does whatever he wants. Everyone sleeps whenever he wants. Everyone drinks whenever he wants. Everyone leaves and comes back whenever he wants. It's like no rule, no order. And this is the period of transition here. This is the period of Judges. And the first thing, the first criteria in order to be a leader, it's the potential. And I believe God wants to see your potential. And I look here in verse 12, says that the angel came to Gideon and said, God be with you, you mighty man of valor. God be with you, you brave man. And now imagine Gideon looking at the angel and saying, what are you talking about? Are you being sarcastic now? What do you mean, God be with you? Where's that God? Where's that God that our fathers and grandfathers would talk about? Where's that God that he took our people from Egypt and he brought them to the promised land? Where's that God when I have cancer? Where's that God when I have tumor? Where's that God when I'm in problems? Where's that God when my wife leaves me, my husband leaves me? Where's that God when my kids are being rebellious? Where's that God when I'm sending prayer requests here to church for years and years and years and nothing happens in my life? Where's that God now? And if you're asking that question, let me tell you something tonight. You're not asking the right question. Because the right question to ask is not where's God, but where are you? Where am I? And you might say, well, I'm in my sickness, I'm in my problem, I'm in my disaster. No, 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 no. Where are you spiritually in that situation? Are you still committed to God? Are you still serving God? Are you still loving God? Are you still keeping your moral value? Are you still keeping your integrity? Or you're just being rebellious? Because being rebellious is the easiest way to be in such a situation. You know, I'm imagining here the angel coming to Gideon and telling him all these things. And Gideon saying here that, God, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can go through. It's very hard. It's very hard to do this. And I was wondering a lot of times, I said, why did God come to Gideon? Why didn't God go to someone else? I'm sure there were a lot of people in Israel at that time. The Bible says here that he was threshing the wheat into the winepress, trying to hide it from the Midianites. In other words, he was working. Don't expect God to come and bless and make a leader a person that stays on Facebook the whole day, or just sleeps or drinks or watches movies the whole day. No, that's not going to happen. God's going to bless and make a leader a person that does something for God. Do something for God. Work. Do something for him, even if it's little. I remember this kid. He was a kid in Romania about 20 years ago. He came to my dad. He was about 15 years old, and he says, Pastor, you know me, you know my family, you know my life, and you see, I go to school from Monday to Friday, but I have this wish and this desire inside of me of doing something for God, and I want to do something for God and for our church especially. And you know, I want to come to church and just clean the bathrooms every Saturday. And I wanted to ask you the permission for that. I mean, it's been over 20 years, and he's still one of the leaders in our worship team there. Why? Because he wanted to do something for God. And I'm looking at you right now. You might be 14, 15, 16 years old, and you might say, well, there's not much I can do for God. There's a lot you can do for God. You screamed and you made such a big deal having that room, having that privacy home. But what are you doing there? Are you bringing your brothers, your sisters, your friends there to worship, to fellowship God? You can start a revolution in a good way in your family. You as a wife, as a mother, you can be that light in your family. You as a husband, you can be that leader. You can be that fire burning, that leader in your family, the leader in the society, the leader at work, the leader at church. Știți foarte bine pilda aia cu smochinul care nu dă rod, nu? Vine vierul și zice, nu, acum îl tai. Acum altai, de 3 ani de zile aștept să dea roci, nu dă. And the workman comes and says, Master, please leave it one more year. Give it one more chance. Maybe something's going to happen. Maybe next year is going to be different, but give it another opportunity. God's not looking at your past tonight. God's not even looking at your present. Believe me, God looks at your future. You are not what the devil wants you to be tonight, but you are what God wants you to be tomorrow. You are not what the devil wants you to be tonight, but you are what God wants you to be tomorrow. But in order for that to happen, God wants to see the potential. Vorbim de multe ori și parcă ne gândim în trecut și ne gândim la viața pe care am avut-o cu Dumnezeu și la început și ce frumos a fost și parcă trăim de foarte multe ori, frate și surori, o pocăință din asta parcă plafonată, obosită de multe ori. We should all be happy because you know what happens? God has higher expectations from us. God wants everyone here to be a leader. He has higher expectations for us. It's like, let's say, for example, for instance, that you go to school, right? You're never going to be able to graduate that college or whatever you do if you're not going to pass your test, right? The same thing here. We can't just stay with our hands in the back and expect God to do everything. That's not going to happen. We should all go outside and wear all these banners that would say, I'm God's art of work. I'm getting better and better and better every day. I know I'm never going to be perfect because I'm not a finished product. But I'm getting better and better and better and better every day. God wants everyone here to be a leader. But in order for that to happen, he wants to see the potential inside of you, the potential inside of me. Two, the second thought tonight. In order to be a leader, you need to break the idols. And I'm just going to read verses 25 and 26 here from chapter 6. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord, your God, on the top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image, which you shall cut down. Îmi imaginez așa situația asta când părinții lui Gedeon s-au trezit și au văzut că idolul era distrus. Și mă imaginez și pe maică-sa și pe taică-sa venind așa înspre el, parcă cu, ca și în poveștile lui Creangă, nu cu o falcă în ceriu și una în pământ. And said, what did you do? And Gideon said, Mom, Dad, wait a second. Before you're going to say anything, I want to tell you something. I met God. And God's not happy with my life, and God's not happy with your life. And he told me that in order to establish the relationship with him, I need to break the idols. I need to break the sin that is inside me. You know, you might think you're a very good leader home because you might bring a good salary or you might know very good how to raise your voice in front of your kids or in front of your wife. But let me tell you something, that doesn't really make you a leader. A lot of times your kids might have asked you for a bread and you might have gave them a snake, knowing or not knowing that. A snake that would eventually bite them and bite all of you guys together after. In order to be a leader, I need to break the idols that are inside of me. You know, I'm thinking that, I remember actually a story with one of my person that I knew. He was going from a church to another and he always wanted to be a leader. And then he ended up going in the mountains and praying there. And I talked to him one time and I said, Do you feel like you're a man of God? Do you feel like you're? And he said, "Oh, I don't know. Only God knows." And I said, "You know, if you don't know, then God doesn't know either." We're looking at Abraham a lot of times, and we say, "Oh, what a great leader, huh? To have God, to have a lot of money, and then to have a son at the end. What a nice story. What a nice life." And God comes and says, "You got to bring Isaac on the altar." And for a lot of us, we might think, "Oh, there was a test." No. God realized that Isaac, that blessing, might be an idol for Abraham. And God wants to take everything from Abraham in order to give him everything. In other words, he wants to take everything from me and from you in order to give us everything. He wants to take everything that makes me stick up to this flesh, stick up to the sin, stick up to this poison that is in this world, and give me his blessings. Let me see his glory. Give me Jesus. We sing so much this beautiful song. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. But my question for you tonight is, how much do you want Jesus tonight? How much do I want Jesus tonight? We're talking about revival. We make conferences and we have sermons, and it's a great thing. But for that revival to happen, it needs to start with you and with me. In other words, I need to step in and I need to say, God, I want the revival to start with me tonight.
Three.
The third criteria, it's the spiritual quality. In order to be a leader, you need to have a spiritual quality. You know, I'm trying to picture this image of with Gideon going to the war, going to the battle with the Midianites. And he was probably making all his calculations and stuff, and he said, you know, I mean, I know the Midianites, they have more soldiers than I have, but I have 32,000 people. You know, I mean, good guys, trained well, you know, good soldiers. I actually might have a chance. And then God comes and says, Gideon, son, there are too many. There are too many. No, ask them. Whoever's scared, whoever's afraid, let them go home. Let them go home because we're not going to the party tonight. Tonight we're going to the war. And if no one told you until now, let me tell you something tonight. When you made that commitment and you received Jesus Christ in your life and you say, Jesus, I will follow you for the rest of my life, you signed a petition to go to the war. A war with a sin, a war with my flesh, a war with this world. And this world can take a lot of things from me and from you. They can take my wife. They can take my family. They can take your properties. They can take your kids. They can take your car. They can take your house. They can take even my life. But let me tell you one thing tonight. This world will never take Jesus away from me. This world will never be able to take Jesus away from you. They can take everything. It doesn't matter. But they will never take Jesus. And I love the way the word of God is it's so obvious and it says so nice there in Romani 8, nu? Că sunt bine încredințat că nici moartea, nici viața, nici îngerii, nici puterile, nici stăpânirile, nici lucrurile de acum, nici lucrurile viitoare, nici înălțimea, nici adâncimea, nici o stăpânire și nici o făptură nu poate să mă desparte de dragostea lui Dumnezeu care este Iisus Hristos, Domnul nostru. So 32,000 people, 22 leave, 10,000 left. And God comes again and says, Gideon, there's still too many. There's still too many. You don't need 10,000. Now ask them, see whoever is disciplined and whoever is not. See the way they drink the water. 9,700 fell. So there you go, Gideon, about to go to the war with 300 people. And I'm sure as brave as he was, or at least as brave as the angel said he was, at that point, his knees were shaking pretty severe. God, I know you told me you're going to be with me, but I need to pay my mortgage and I have $100. No. God, I believe you. I believe you. But I have $100 in my pocket and tomorrow I have to pay the mortgage. No, I know you said you're gonna make a miracle and you're going to use me. But I work in this company for 10 years. I work with the same people and nothing happened. And I'm trying to tell them about you. Is it really going to happen? Is it really going to, you come to church, you're a young person and you're a young kid here, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, 14, it doesn't matter the age. But what matters is that you come here and you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and I know, I see the passion, I see everything that is inside you is amazing. But then you go home and let's be honest, the home, it's a different story. It's not like here. You go to school and it's different and you say, oh, I'm so weak. Am I really going to be able to be a leader? You know, you come here a lot of times, you're coming by yourself because your wife doesn't come to church. Your husband, they don't come, they don't care. And you have that passion inside of you for God and for make miracles. And you say, God, am I really going to be a leader? You know, the whole world, the whole world says, well, you're a nobody. But when the whole world says you're a nobody, God comes and says, you're somebody. You're somebody that important that I send my only son to die for you. And you are a leader. You can make it happen. He has higher expectations from you and from me. Are you ready? Am I ready for that? This is the question. And fourth and last, in order to be a leader, you got to see your place. In order to be a leader, I got to see my place. And I'm going to read some verses from Judges 8, from verses 22 to 27. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hands of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, not shall my son rule over you, the Lord shall rule over you. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment. And each man threw into its earrings from his plunder. Now, the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes, which were on the king's median, and besides the chain that were around their camel necks. Then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it into the city Ophrah, and all Israel played harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. I mean, it's very sad, you know, to read this and to see the ending. Be with God, live with God, see his miracles, see a lot of things that he does for you. See the way he works, how amazing it is, and at the end to fail. Why? Because the people said, be our king. And God said, be a leader. And Gideon said, I don't really want to be a king. I don't really care to be a leader, but I want to be a priest. I want to be right here. I want to be in front of all you guys here. And God comes and says, I love you and I have a lot of things ready for you and I want to make you a leader, but not here. I have a lot of things for you. Other. No, God, I want it here. This is how he tricks us a lot of times, right? You know, he tricks us and we feel like those things are blessings, but a lot of times they're curses. A story says that a girl found one time a really beautiful flower and she looked at it, she picked it, and she put it under her ear. And the next day she died. It was tragic what happened. And at the autopsy, they discovered that actually the cause of the death was an insect that was poisoned and it bited her. That's how the devil comes a lot of times, my brothers and sisters. He comes as in a very beautiful flower, and it's actually poison. Poison that will kill us after. And my prayer and your prayer tonight, I want it to be, God, I don't want to be the leader that I want to be, but I want to be the leader that you want me to be. And I don't want to see myself through my eyes, but I want to see myself through Jesus' eyes. And what a waste of time would have been all this sermon that I'm just about to end here if I would have not really talked about Jesus Christ, that is the most amazing leader. Jesus Christ, our supreme leader. He came in this world and, you know, he was considered a nobody. Îmi imaginez așa farisei și cărturarii vorbind despre el și uitându-se la cine mă, un nimeni drum, fiul lui Iosif și al Maria, îl cunoaștem, nu? Ei știm părinții, știu. Să te consideri ai tăi, nu-i de înțeles, să fii considerat rasist, dar ai tăi, poporul tău, to be considered an erratic by his own people? You know, his family, they were so poor, they didn't have money to bring a calf. They brought a dove at the temple. I'm imagining that he didn't have extra change, clothes, right? He was probably washing his clothes and he would have to wait in the tent until they would dry. He didn't have people here standing at the media for 1 hour to arrange all these things that you see here. They didn't have people to make sure that the internet is on. He would preach from a boat, my dear brothers and sisters, from a boat. But thousands and thousands and thousands of people would come. You know why? Because there was the Holy Spirit right there. That was Jesus Christ. You know, and at the end, he was crucified. Crucified by them, crucified by me and by you. A lot of times we do this. They considered Barabbas more important. They said, this person that is the lowest of the lowest is actually more important than Jesus Christ. This is our Savior. This is how he was considered us. He came to save this whole world. He came to save me and you. And this is how he was considered. And more than that, after all this, he comes to the disciples and he says, guys, be of a good cheer, guys. Guys, there, I overcome the world. Are you ready to overcome the world? This is the question in the end. You know, you might have a different perspective, a different conception, a different mentality about being a leader. And you might have said, I don't want to deal with that. I'm never going to be a leader. Believe me, God wants every one of you here to be a leader. He has higher expectations from you and from me. There's a lot of things that are ready for us. And my prayer and your prayer tonight, I want to just go home and be able to stay in my knees and say, Jesus, you know, I just want to open my heart. I want to open my brain. I want to open my head. I just want to serve you. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. I know I have a duty. I know I have responsibilities. I just can't stay handcuffed and just like see să mă uit la peisajele de lângă mine. You know, there's a lot of things ready for you. There's a lot of things prepared for you and for me. There's a lot of gifts that God has for you guys. There's a lot of things that are prepared. Are you ready to just open them? Are you ready to just say, Jesus, make me that leader? I don't know where, but I know you have a place. And I want to do that. Why? Because one day, guys, I just want to be with all of you in the heaven. And I want all of us to be able to serve our Lord there. May God bless you. Amen.